If you have a question that you'd like answered, if or something comes up tonight, you're like, actually, I'd really like to ask this question, please text it through. Or if you've got the app, just click on the relationship series image as it scrolls across, and then you can fill out a little form, and that'll pop up on our phones as well. Hi, guys. So on our extended panel tonight, let me quickly introduce everyone. This is Chris down the end. We have Jill, Ange, Jono, Julia, and I'm Jeremiah. And what we've done tonight is we've actually printed off a whole bunch of questions that we've received throughout the week, or questions that we think would be great conversation starters, and we've got them here on the table. So anytime you're like, actually, let's change topic, just grab one. not snap. And just read it out, and then it's open for discussion.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mix of serious and silly, and isn't there as well?
Hope so. Jono, do you want to grab one and start us off?
Oh, okay.
It's the serious pile.
It is. How do I know if someone is the one?
It's a great question, Jono. How do I?
Well,
because you're married, you found the one, right?
I am married. Thankfully, to a beautiful wife who's sitting in the front row.
You're stalling.
I'm what?
Stalling.
I'm stalling. Yeah. No. Thank you. I think for me, I don't know if this, it depends on what the person means by the one. Do they believe that God has one person in the entire earth that they are supposed to marry and that is the only person? Or maybe the question is, are you the one? Like, do you have to work at the point where actually you could make any relationship work if you put enough hard work in and go, I'm going to put God at the center of this relationship? Then almost any relationship, I think, could be the one. But I don't know, someone else needs to pitch in before I train wreck this thing.
No, it's good. As long as Anna knows she's the one, that's good. No, I think it's really interesting, actually, that statistically arranged marriages last just as often as, you know, chosen marriages. And I think that says something about love being a choice. Mm. And so I'm a little bit with John. I don't think God picks out the one person on the planet that is, you have to somehow, hopefully, navigate your way through life with all your will and choices in the mix and hope that you're going to cross paths with that one person, and because that is the only person that will ever work in a marriage situation. I think it's a bit broader than that. I think definitely there God's intention for you and his best plans and purposes, and you definitely need to be in God's will to be finding a really good connection with somebody, absolutely. But yeah, I'm a little bit on the side of whether there's the one. But I think there's certainly you need to be seeking God over whether the person that you are with or that you are interested in is God's intention and is God's will for your life. And there are a number of markers for that, and I really don't think that should be a decision that comes solely down to just what you feel or think. And again, when we talked about last week, Chris talked a lot about that we have to live out and walk out our lives and journeys in community with wise counsel, with people around us that love us. And so if you're finding that the one for you is somebody that everybody else is saying they have the worst possible choice, there's no way you should be with that person, then you need to do a little bit of further discovery around that.
Another thing, a really simple thing, is to ask yourself two questions. Can I imagine living with this person for the rest of my life?
Good question.
Number one. And number two, can I imagine living my life without this person? And if you can answer those questions, then I think you've got it. You know, that's the one. And yes, I tend to be more to that God has your partner already organised for you. Your complementary giftings, your purposes, all of those things can come into alignment. I hear what they say and I'm sort of there, but I'm also very strongly convinced that something as important as your life partner, that God's got under control as well.
Yeah.
But we have to be open. Because sometimes you hear people's testimonies, and initially they didn't even like the person. And you always got to get past the initial, because the initial thing that I fell in love with, love being the wrong word, was Paul was tall, and he had this head full of blonde hair. That was lovely. Exactly. Not anymore. And well, it's sort of blonde again. and so if that's all I loved, then it wouldn't have been a good marriage. So you work on your friendship and all of those things.
I've just had a question come through. Well, how early is too early to get married?
Oh, well, we got married at 20. So
so was that too early?
Well, Jill, you've got a pretty cool story, haven't you, about you and Paul, because you were actually dating someone else for a while.
Outed on the live show panel.
Are you dropping me in?
No. I think it's an awesome story. Like, I think it's a event. Yeah. It was something you told us.
Does Jill think it's an awesome story?
Oh, she's told it.
Does Paul think it's an awesome story?
Paul and I were dating, and he had the call of God on his life for full-time. We've all got the call of God for full-time ministry, but he had it for as a minister. And I had been fighting that for some time. We're in the Salvation Army, so you both go into it. It's not one goes into it. And one of the things that I couldn't bear to give up was mascara. And with your uniform, you don't wear makeup. And so that was... But anyway, so we'd been going out, and it had been going really well. And then... I'm not quite sure exactly why. It was probably some very godly reason, because that's Paul. We went to Gone with the Wind, and when we came home to dropping me off at my place, he broke up with me. And so it was Gone with the Winds, right? And it was such a dramatic night. And so that was difficult. And in that time, I did go out with someone else who also asked me to marry him. Don't take my example. I was a flirt. I put it out there now. I was well behaved as far as boundaries was concerned, but I was a flirt. And you can't imagine it now, but I'm twice the woman I used to be. Anyway, and so I was going out with him. But what happened was God had the chance to get hold of me, because I'd been saying, I am still struggling with this call. Because personally, I wanted to be the first female secondary principal in New Zealand. Not that I don't aim high or anything, but and to sort of instead go into being a minister, I really struggled with it. God got hold of me, because I could no longer say it's just because Paul wants to. And so I surrendered to God and said, not my will but yours. I can't fight it any longer. I know this is what you've called me to. That was on the Easter Sunday. So on the Monday, I rang up and broke up with this other guy. Again, don't follow my example. Terrible example. And then waited for Paul to ring me. I felt that certain that God's hand was on this. And so that happened just a few hours later. He rang me, and the rest is history.
See,
45 years
story.
Of marriage.
I actually just feel like I have to retract something I said before while you've been talking, and again, now I'm going to say I'm not a good example either, because actually pretty much everybody told me not to date Carl when we first met, and I didn't listen, and here we are. So just to put that out there, I think there is something where God puts a seal on something, and if you hear directly from him, even in the face of sometimes opposition and what seems natural... At our first date, he actually did a runner from the police while I was in the car with him. So, you know, yeah, we didn't
Would
get great
like a
encouragement.
And a right of reply.
No, I didn't marry him 6 months. So it's a very good point, Chris, because, it was 4 years that we dated, and there was a lot of transformation that had to happen, and I wouldn't have married him at that point. Thank you, Chris. That's very good. I feel like I'm... Yeah.
It's good, actually, because we've had a question come through where it's kind of along what you're talking about. It says, what if I discover or think it's the wrong one?
Now, it depends where that's coming from. If that's coming from someone who's already married, that's a whole different answer. But if it's somebody who's dating, you can't pursue a relationship if you, in your heart, believe that it's the wrong thing, because you're also holding that person's life and future to ransom. But you do need to do some soul searching about what are the reasons you're pulling away, because there can be so many. I think it's why it's hard to actually have this discussion on this panel, because there are so many factors to love and relationships, and when people have gone through poor examples from their parents, or they've gone through abuse or things like that, it can really affect how somebody operates in a relationship, and somebody can have a protective drawback from a relationship, and it's not for the right reasons. So Yeah, it's a hard one to answer without knowing sort of the context to that. But yeah, if you in your heart know that that person is not the one, don't try and, you know, it's not about saving face. It's not about looking like you've got it all together. You have to release that person to their future too.
Sorry, can I just say, if you're married to someone who you think now is not the one, then what I would suggest is get help with that. If you're having trouble in your marriage, then it's really hard to sort it out within the marriage. Yeah. You actually need a trusted confidant to come alongside that marriage and to help you both journey and travel through that. But you've got to be very careful who you let into that marriage. So a professional counsellor, pastor with some really good, you know, someone like that, someone who's really, really trusted, because you won't be able to sort that out yourselves, or it's highly unlikely. You'll be much, much better off. Again, it's about travelling in community. It's about being here for one another. We're not islands. We're not created to live disconnected. We're created to live connected.
Yeah, and I think, again, on the marriage thing, I think if you married somebody and there was love for that person that caused you to want to marry them and think they are the one, and I just want to say that even if you're not feeling that right now, it's recoverable. It is actually, the restoration process can happen, and whatever has unraveled that, God can do wonders and turn that around. So don't completely lose hope. Yeah.
There's the Making Marriage Better course as well.
Yep, good plug. We haven't got Paul Cargill here to do his spiel, but there is a Life Keys marriage course that we run periodically, and I actually encourage anybody, you don't have to be having problems in your marriage to go to it. It really is about how to make your marriage better, whatever stage it's at, whatever issues you deal with, whether it's perfect or not, everybody can do with a bit of help along the way and reminders about communication and things like that. Yeah.
You guys ready for another question?
Go for it.
So this one is a little bit heavy. What is the best way to say no if there is someone pressuring you to do sexual acts when you don't want to and they won't take no as an answer?
And I think there's another question just come in that I'll just add to that as well. What is a healthy and God-honouring model for physical intimacy in serious long-term relationships before marriage? Both end.
So to answer that first one, I've got two different answers depending on this person is married or unmarried. If they are single, then obviously that you say, I think they say, how do I say, they're not listening
what
to me.
What is the best way to say no if there is someone pressuring you?
Okay. If they're not listening to you saying no, then they're actually not respecting you. And if you want to have a comeback, have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, and just look, there's about four verses there that says what love is. So if they're trying to say, but if you love me, then your comeback to that is, it's not about what I will or won't do outside of marriage. It is about the fact that I do not want to dishonour my body. I do not want to dishonour God. Right. And so that is wrong. If you're married, then I suggest you talk about it first off, if you can, possibly. That's what you need together as a couple. Not when the kids are screaming around and everything else is going on. Because you need to, this person needs to be able to express why they don't want to, and the other person, the other partner, needs to be able to express why they want to. Outside of, not in the heat of the moment, outside of it, go on a date or have the kids away or whatever, and actually talk it through, because it might be just that there's something you have to agree to disagree on, and you have to respect that because you have to. But there's the other side, that our body's no longer our own when we're married. 1 Corinthians 7 tells us that it belongs to each other. And so there might be some things that you think, no, I could never do. But actually, if it's a fantasy, a dream of your partner, actually, and it's not outside of the bounds of, you know, normalness. I mean, like a threesome is never going to be right. An animal's never going to be right. You know, just throwing it out there.
Just in case you didn't
know.
You
heard it here tonight.
In case it's getting a bit heavy. You know, awesome.
No, that's good. I think it can be really complicated when you're, as if this is a dating relationship that this question has come from, it can be very complicated when you absolutely love that person and they put pressure on you or manipulate in order to get what they want, because it you become torn. There's that part of you want to please that person because you want them to love you, you want to fulfill their desires, all that kind of thing. But you've got to stand firm on the Word of God, and you've got to stand firm on, I think we talked about a little bit last week, on your rights to your body, and that God gave you your body, and it is your choice to honour that. And you do have to stand firm on that, and it can be a hard thing to do. And I would say that if you're in that situation, again, if the other person is also a Christian, which I hope that they are, you need some help around that. And actually somebody that, if I don't know if this question is coming from a guy or a girl, I really don't know, but you need some mentoring and some help about how to deal with that and how to create healthy boundaries so that it's not an ongoing issue. But again, when you try and solve these things yourself, it can be really hard. It can be really difficult to do that when you're so many emotions are involved. Yeah.
I'm just thinking of Joseph who ran. So in Genesis, there's a story of a young man who is in a servant position, and there's a woman who's in power over him and is trying to seduce him, and he runs. And so I wonder if sometimes he's just leave, just walk away, and don't just, if that person might love you, the problem is he or she loves themselves more than you at that moment. And sometimes a little bit of tough love's pretty much what they need. They need a bit of a jolt, so just walk away. Just walk away. Just say, if this is where this is going, I'm not interested. Just run. Just walk. Walk out on the relationship, and then see what they say. They might come to their senses. And if that is a woman, and a young guy is asking her to do stuff that she doesn't want to do, then just honestly slap them. I have no time for it. If you're the guy, grow up, get a spine, and live a decent life. You know, be a man, for goodness sake. Love your woman. We are called to lay down our lives for our wives.
Wow.
That's leadership in the household, if you want to talk about leadership. It's self-giving. It's self-deference. And no place for it. Not in the church. Sorry.
Do you want to, Jeremiah, just read out the second part of that question as well? Because I don't think we've managed to cover that.
Says, what is a healthy and God-honoring model for physical intimacy and serious long-term relationships before marriage? I don't know if it's asking how far can I go.
It pretty much is.
In a very nice way.
And I think we did talk about that last week.
It's a very Christian way of asking.
Maybe it's not.
It's very well worded.
It is
very well worded. I think, to be honest, I just don't think that physical intimacy is the thing that should be happening before marriage. I think that is the point, that physical intimacy is two becoming one. And that is what should wait for marriage. And the question is, how do we live out our relationship honouring God and honouring each other and respecting each other? And, we mentioned last week, it's not about just having a swimsuit rule and there's certain parts that are okay and there's certain things you can do. But it also should be discussed in a relationship. I think one of the problems is that people work out where the boundaries are by trying it out and seeing how far they go before there's a stop. And that's never going to go well. That's never going to go well. So you need to have those conversations early in a relationship to say, this is my intention for my body and what I plan in our relationship before marriage, and have those. They're awkward discussions to have, right? That's not something that it's really natural to do. But honestly, it will save you so much pain and grief in a relationship to be open and upfront at the beginning.
Just two quick comments. I think sometimes we take our cue more from society than we do from church context and culture, from the Word of God. And so I think you've got to sort of just put on hold all the messages that you're hearing from society about what's normal in a dating relationship and just focus a little bit more on living a wise, healthy lifestyle. And I think when it comes to wisdom, I think physicality shortcuts the intimacy process.
Yeah, that's good.
And when you're building a relationship, particularly for the long term, you want to build layer on layer, precept on precept, and you want to get to know each other as friends, and then you grow from there. If you jump in too quickly into physical intimacy, it shortcuts that process, and you could potentially pay for it long term.
I totally agree with that, especially on the communication. If your relationship gets too physical too quickly, you don't actually get to communicate well. And do you know what? Communication is to love what blood is to life. It really is. And the marriage problems, 99.5%. come down to communication breakdowns. So if we don't get that right before we get married, then, you're starting off in a bad way. Why does God give us such strong sex drives and then put rules around it? You know, I think that can be something that goes through our head. And even before I go there, the serious relationship, you never know if the full commitment is being made. I have dealt with beautiful young ladies who have become intimate with the person that they thought they were going to marry, and they haven't got married. And it's been such a disappointment. They've been so disappointed in themselves and so disappointed for their husband-to-be. And so it's really uncertain. But we do have strong sex drives. And it is a funny thing because next to our survival desire, it's the second strongest one. So why did God give us that? Well, it is an amazing gift. It is an amazing gift. But it just says not to be opened before marriage. Because the word's really clear that the two shall become one flesh. It's not just a physical act. It's a joining of souls. It's a joining in all sorts of emotional ways. And so we then have to work within those boundaries. And one of the easiest ways to work within a boundary is not to have too long together by yourselves. Because no matter how well thought out your boundaries have been, especially once you get engaged, don't have long engagements. We had 12 weeks, and that was, I'm glad it wasn't any longer, you know, because we, yeah, you know.
we had a year and a half engagement, way too long.
What should someone do if they have gone too far? Maybe they're sitting here going, actually, I have, like, what should they do from this point? They're sitting here tonight going, actually, okay, I know this isn't right. Am I ruined, as you know?
No, the thing is, virginity and chastity are two different things. Once your virginity's gone, it's gone, but you can still be chaste. Chastity, that word. In other words, pure. So, you know, obviously, ours is long gone, but we are still chaste because we have never had any kind of marital affairs or any kind of thing like that. So we're still living a pure life. And you can, regardless of what's gone on, you can live like that. It's more difficult if you're still together within that relationship. And here again, you would just have to pull back totally how much time you've got alone together. And we had a real help. My father used to put the milk bottles out when we were at the gate. Paul didn't find out for years that actually we had a daytime delivery, but but you have to put that break on yourself. Yeah, yeah. So it's not all loss. Absolutely not. We can reclaim. That's the grace and forgiveness of God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally the grace and forgiveness of God.
Absolutely. And it's really important not to let your past mistakes hold your future to ransom. I think we said that last week. Because you can make a choice today. From this day forward, I will choose to honour my partner and I honour God through my relationship, through my body, all of those things. And you can choose that in any moment right now and put the past behind you and choose to leave it there. And yes, it's more difficult. It is more difficult when you've already gone down that track, but you can put things in place to ensure that you don't go there again. Yeah.
I've got another question from someone who's married. I'm married, but there's no intimacy. What should I do now?
Yeah.
Just to add in real quick, I think what Jill mentioned earlier about the communication thing has got to be the first step. Because there's so many different factors to why there could be no intimacy, but you've got to start somewhere, and by starting with the communication and having the honest conversation with that other person has got to be the first place. And if it's, I suppose it depends on whether this is a one-sided question or not, as to whether one person is feeling this way, and you'll find that out through communication, because if you're both sitting there feeling like you don't have that, then one of the things you can actually just do is pray together about it. You know, God invented sex. He wants us to be intimate as married couples, and that's his design. And so when God's the center of your marriage, if you can come together and pray and actually seek God around it, then that can come as well. If it's a one-sided thing, then that's a little bit more tricky, but you've got to start with communication.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you, Jono. I would say, again, have a date night or where you go out. You're in public, but can have a private conversation. Because sometimes it's very difficult to talk about these things. And if you get an interruption, then that can ruin it, you know, totally. So you need to talk about how you're feeling. And it's for the other person to understand. Because intimacy is much more than a sexual act. It's feeling connected. And so if you've lost that connection, and one thing a lot of people don't understand, God has wired male and female differently. And for a female, we need to feel loved to feel like intimacy. And for a man, they need intimacy to feel loved. Yeah. So the marriage within that, you know, you could be, both of you, as you say, could be feeling totally that there's no intimacy, but for different reasons. Mm. And so, and if you can't do the talk, then get help. See someone that you trust, that you know that could speak into you. That's wise, in counsel and get help. Don't leave it. Yeah. Don't leave it, because if you've got to that point, you just can get further and further apart, and it just becomes a chore. And that's not God's intention for our marriages, not his intention at all.
We are so nearly out of time / a little bit over, which seems to have flown by, but I do want to ask this one more question. There are more questions on the table, so I encourage you, if we haven't got to your question tonight, talk to someone else about it. Catch up with someone, catch up with a friend, catch up with someone here on team, and ask these questions, engage with this discussion, and actually ask those questions. But this question come in, why doesn't the church seem to promote or encourage people choosing to be single? It says a bit more, but it says it seems like the church culture implies that unless you're married, you're not quite a full Christian. Is it, in another word, is it okay to be single? You know, Paul and Jesus were single, quite prominent figures. Is that a good thing? Should we be encouraging people to do that? Or were we, as we keep saying, designed to be in relationship and so designed to be married, so I'm not meeting my full potential unless I do?
You read the Apostle Paul's words and he says, I wish everybody could be like me and be single, you know, but don't burn in your lust, you know. Get married. I think that God did make Adam and Eve because he said it's not good for man to live alone. So there is that purpose there. And if most of us didn't get married, there would be a problem with population increase. Actually, you know how everything was good when God looked at it and said it's good? Well, actually, he looked at Adam and he said, it's good, but I can do better. I like it. But singleness, yeah, because it can be a lonely place. Julia should be speaking on this.
That's because I'm for sure.
At this point of time, I don't believe it's a continual situation for either of them. But, you know.
Yeah, I think there's definitely times when I think it isn't valued, and I think there is a lot of pressure. But I think you choose to be faithful in whatever season you find yourself in. And like I always love what Christine Kane said, and that was something that she said as I was growing up through youth, and it was milk every season for all it's worth. And I'm like, I'm not a wife and I'm not a mum at the moment, but man, I make the most of my time. Mm. I have a lot of friendships and I choose to initiate and maintain a lot of those friendships, so I'm definitely not lonely. And I feel like I'm, you know, the goal is always to be as whole and heal as possible as a person. And I think you just have to take the people are going to say dumb stuff from time to time. And, you know, I think that's whether you're single or whether you're in a relationship, and you have to, you know, what voices you choose to listen to and who you place around your life and what you actually allow to speak into you will determine your worth and your value around that. But I think we all make a decision to be faithful in whatever season we find ourselves in. And I know I'm in Chris and Belinda's life group, and we've just recently read the book Sex God by Rob Bell and done a study on it. And there was actually, you have to jump in and help me here, but there was some stuff where he was talking about actually the singleness was valued. That was kind of the highest. It's cool. And then there's been this real shift within culture and with our communities where we don't value that so much. And then so actually it's going, actually, what is a balance around that stuff? And I think that's something for us to journey through as, you know, as a community of faith, and going, if someone's not in a relationship, how do we make sure that they're not isolated and lonely? But also, how do we make sure that people within marriages and relationships also aren't isolated and lonely? Because I've had, you know, people that are married and they're far more lonely than I am, and going, that's not right either.
Yeah.
I don't know, am I even on topic anymore?
No, it's cool. Good.
Yeah.
Great. There is always going to be so much more to discussion, and I don't think we've even begun to talk about, you know, a tiny bit of it. But I hope you've been blessed by tonight. I hope it's maybe answered some of the questions that you might have had, or at least sparked a conversation that you would like to have. So I'm just going to hand it over to Ange. If you would pray for us, that would be awesome.
Lord, I just thank you that you designed us to be in relationship in all sorts of ways, Lord. And we just thank you that you have modeled that for us, Lord. And we ask, Father, that as we walk out our daily lives and decisions around relationships, and particularly around romantic relationships, Lord, we ask for your guidance. We ask for your wisdom, Lord. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would speak to us, Lord, and in us. Help us to see from your perspective, Lord. Lord, I want to pray tonight for anybody here who feels like they've been damaged in whatever relationship that might be, Lord, but has lost something through relationship. Lord, I ask tonight that you would bring your healing and transformative power to that area of their lives, Lord, where they have lost trust. Lord, where there has just been a sense of perhaps failure, Lord, or guilt or shame. Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you would come, that you would right now bring that sense of release from whatever has held these people back in their past, Lord. And Lord, we just release them tonight to their future, to what you have for them. Lord, whether their calling is in singleness or in marriage, Lord, I pray today that there would just be a strong sense of identity and who they are in you, Lord, as a son or daughter of God. That, Lord, wherever they are right now, that you will use them. Holy Spirit, we just ask your blessing upon everyone here tonight. Everyone, Lord, that is struggling with forgiveness tonight, Lord, we just ask that you would do a work in them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.